is the Great Shalom Broadcast, proclaiming that God wants total well-being for all children.
Welcome back, everybody. This is the first episode for 2019, and I am wishing and praying for you success and happiness in everything. I myself have made a great leap in those things and hope to share with you the insights that I have gleaned about effective prayer and so forth that makes you happy and, more importantly, gives meaning and, yes, results. So that will be coming up as a series here in the near future. So success and happiness. So let's define that. A large part of our problem in terms of not getting to our goals is that we don't define them. And a large part of the problem of us being led around by the nose is that we don't define them, and so we let people take us off in the wild blue yonder with promises that don't come through. So success, let's define. Okay? Money itself is not fulfilling, although it's an important tool. You need a certain amount of income. And we would like outward success, and to completely deny that is to be foolish. But outward success is simply not enough. Others can take that away. So success should be defined as serving as a mature son of God, reflecting the nature of the Father and being part of that business. And that way, you're working on the kind of outward success that will be meaningful. And when you reach really difficult times, it doesn't mean that you're not successful. Or when you are completely slain by unfair persecution, you can still depend on resurrection power, joy, even happiness. In the strongest of trials, the deepest depressions monetarily, you are still successful. So success is operating in this world as a mature son of God, is occupying or doing business for the Father. That's actually what that Greek word means. And therefore, when you face trials, it's part of the deal. And if you put the definition on outward success, then that can be taken away from you. Or you can cheat yourself by getting to money while cutting ethical corners, but you will always have that nagging knowledge in the pit of your stomach. So you can, and other people do, make a show about that and try to fool other people, but inside you will still live with yourself. So define success well and don't give a misapplied definition. Yes, we are not saying just go sit in a corner and be happy because you're spiritual. No, because that's not spiritual maturity. It's serving others and loving in love is spiritual maturity. So this kind of definition will make you happy, and then you can count it all joy when you run into divers temptations. Yes, so if you don't know, there's a couple of scriptures like that. That one from James, the first chapter. So that's success. And happiness, like it, happiness is very elusive, and great industries make their fortune on sleight of hand, suggesting that you'll be happy if only you pay them. And of course, you are happy while you are in that hope, but but not in the long run. And then, of course, there's the old saw of, okay, in Christian life, you'll be joyful but not happy. And then they go around like stone face. Anyway, so the verse that in the King James is translated being grave, actually maybe a mistranslation, it should be dignified. Okay, you're not supposed to always be grave, meaning very serious and never smiling. Okay, so that's maybe an Elizabethan idea. But no, you can be happy, and the Christian life should be happy. That doesn't mean you're never sad or never challenged with frustration or anger or whatever, because those things obviously happen. But overall, you can be happy. That happiness comes from the joy and the purpose and the love that you get with a really close relationship with God. Now, I've been listening to a lot of things. Of course, you know, this is what I do. And I've been listening to one of the most popular podcasts based on iTunes stats. And it is a bunch of blah, blah, blah. I just listened to their three most popular podcasts of 2018. And I'm telling you, and I will certify to you, it is blah, blah, blah. And now maybe the average person won't realize that because it's a lot of vocabulary coming very quickly and it purports to make you happier or more skilled with social relations. And yes, better social relations will make you happier. But taking some of this advice will do you no good at all because it's blah, blah, blah. And how do I know? Well, I've spent some time in some graduate schools. I have been learning in all of these fields. Yes, I have for a lifetime. And I'm telling you, the end of it, the depth of it, the result of it is blah, blah, blah. Okay, there is an industry of self-improvement. And, you know, I'm all for self-improvement and learning new skills. And I study that, like time management, and then I teach time management to people who run schools and so forth. But often, now, not always, but often much of the self-improvement advice is bad advice. Just bad advice. There are showmen. Often they're barely ethical. And in fact, I got an email from one of these guys. Apparently I was on their email list. And he was saying bad advice. And I called him on it. And I sent him an email. And lo and behold, he emailed me back. And of course, he just completely denied what I had to say and tried to say that we were agreeing. And so I said, no, I am telling you that what you're saying is bad advice in like 80% of the cases. And, you know, a few cases it might be right. But this is if people make this a rule of their life, they will be sad and less skilled. And this is wrong. And he wrote me back completely denying what I said. And then I looked into more about what he does and unsubscribed. Okay. So often, not always, these are showmen, barely ethical, giving you bad advice. So you have to know ahead of time. But you've already paid them usually a lot of money. Well, not so much anymore because usually there's some freebies. So hallelujah, you can sample those freebies, but it takes a lot of work, a lifetime. And sometimes I feel like, gosh, I've invested a lifetime, and sometimes still there's areas where I feel like I know nothing, or I have studied for so long and I've just been led in the wrong direction. And this has happened many times actually in my life, but I don't regret the fact that I've invested a lot of time in studying. So this is what I do, is study how to live better. So, and study how to teach better. So, okay, fine. And then I want to tell you about the industry of psychology. Okay, so I've studied psychology as a graduate student, undergraduate student too. And I've studied psychology, the whole industry of psychology, as a sociology student. And I'm here to tell you that psychology is very much like denominations. They all have their little angle and what they wish to push, and they all disagree with one another, and none of them have definite science to back. Now, they appear to give you a united front when they're selling you something or when you're in a freshman course. But really, they're more like denominations. Each one of them, or that's even an insult to denominations, because denominations do have some agreed upon foundations, like the Apostles' Creed, but psychology really does not. And so, first off, you have to understand there's very, very limited scientific base. Now, we understand how the brain works, and we understand a whole lot more than we used to. Back in the 90s, we didn't even know that. People were prescribing psychotropic drugs without understanding the basis of synaptic uptake. Like, so they were giving their patients Russian roulette. And I still see that happening, that people are whacked out on some cocktail of drugs because no one practitioner is taking real responsibility. In fact, if you ask psychologists and therapists in general, they say they don't take responsibility for their patients' lives. So they're there doing their practice, whatever that is, and asking questions and keeping the talk therapy going, which of course keeps them having an income at $100 an hour or whatever, or more than that. But they're taking no responsibility for any kind of results. And whereas a consultant really works to stop mission creep, because these psychologists are on an hourly basis, mission creep, oh, we don't even talk about that because we want it to happen. We want these people to keep coming back for an hour a week for years and years, and we just don't care what happens in their life because we believe, without any kind of evidence, that if they talk through it, they'll understand it better. And that might be true, they understand it better, but does that have any better results? So there are some standards like blame your parents. There are some standards like don't be hard on yourself, which after some decades, I think is fairly obvious, is ridiculous. We need some people to be harder on themselves. We've got a whole generation of entitlement that just does not work. But you know what? There is some science about this. So there was one rather famous study done by some sociology students in New York City. And there was one hospital in New York City, there was an outstanding proportion of diagnoses of schizophrenic. And in the hospital in Long Island, there was an outstanding proportion of diagnoses that were, some other similar diagnosis. Oh, I should write these out. So schizophrenic and some other sort of, I just can't think of the word. But anyway, so they put the people standing around the hospital on buses and bus the people from Long Island to New York and the New York people to Long Island. And lo and behold, on the buses, their diagnoses changed. Yes, this was a real study. An old one. And there are numerous studies in what is called labeling theory. Rosenhans is one of the more famous writers. And it looks like that people who get treatment and the people who don't get treatment, if you compare those, the ones who are more likely to get stuck are the ones who are more likely to get a diagnosis and therefore treatment. So you're more likely to get well from serious mental illness if you don't get treatment? Yes, actually that's what the Rosenhan studies say. So there's just not a whole lot of solid science. Now, I would say it's intuitively true that if you have somebody to listen to you and somebody who seems to care about you, that should be helpful, right? But these people, are they just listening? Or are they leading you on with very an obvious direction? So they'll say that they're not taking responsibility because they're not directing you. And they'll say, and they're not teaching, but they are directing you because they'll tell you, don't be hard on yourselves and blame your parents. and keep coming back. But are people who are in counseling more happy? Do they resolve their issues? There's just no scientific evidence. In fact, that's the case. The scientific evidence is on the other side. And I noticed that as a whole, it contravenes the anciently received wisdom. But there are some real studies like Daniel Goleman. So we've studied self-esteem and we've done boosterism. And he says, you know what? That doesn't seem to work. But if children will apply themselves and do something that they respect, then they respect themselves. Oh, what an amazing idea. So self-respect comes from achievement. Amazing. So completely opposite from what the rest of the field says, but that's real science. He's got some real studies and you can go and read his books, and I recommend you do if you're interested. So let me tell you a few anecdotes from my own life. I went and saw a social work therapist with my daughter when she was, you know, elementary school age. She was having lots of problems because she had learning problems. She was dyslexic and she was ADD, which wasn't diagnosed yet, but she was having problems at school. So I took her to one social work therapist, and some of my friends had urged positive thinking on me, and their family seemed to go well. And so I was kind of mulling around in my mind, maybe I should use some positive thinking and make our family happier. And he completely poo-pooed that idea. But a few years later, I saw him at a singles meetup. He was at a singles meetup, and he was the grumbliest, most negative, gratuitously negative fellow. And I'm thinking, and I took his advice to eject positive thinking that worked for my friend. I should have known the person who was giving me the advice. Then I worked for a crisis hotline and knew the person who ran it. And then I knew some of the candidates who were being considered to replace her. And the one who was hired on the basis of his PhD in psychology. However, I knew him socially, and he continually talked about killing himself. Oh, great. And of course, I've told you I've known person after person who was just whacked out on a cocktail of ill-prescribed psychotropic drugs. And over the years, I've been teaching conflict reduction seminars. And more than once, I've had somebody in there, like a nurse or just an average person, urging other people in the group to start taking psychotropic drugs, that would make them, well, they seem to indicate that would make them happier, but there's no evidence for that. Maybe make you less depressed, but, well, I suppose there might be some drugs that make you happy. I don't know. But antidepressants, I've never seen that happening. But I do know that it's completely inappropriate for a nurse to say in a conflict reduction group that I am teaching to tell these people, oh, well, just forget about this, you know, making better skills to be with people and just start taking some psychotropic drugs. That's not appropriate. I snap judgments and pervasive myths. We are in a soup of this. Not influenced any longer by godliness and biblical tradition, but rather these myths perpetuated by widespread psych and social courses at the freshman level. So what should be happening in those freshman courses is to learn what science is and learn how to read a study and to see what it actually says, but that's not what is happening, but rather some kind of mishmash ideology based on a very shallow reading of a very beginnings of science. Okay, so let's do that better. And I notice in general, these courses take issue with the ancient wisdom. But you know, ancient wisdom has been around for a long time because there's some truth in it. Like, do you remember when we all talked about the wives' tales and the stupidity of herbal medicine? Well, maybe you're not old enough, but that was a pervasive thing. We all laughed for decades and decades at old wives' tale, like, ha, 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 taking garlic when you have a cold, silly. Really? Yeah. So today, it's only the least educated people who do that, but that was perpetuated from the academy, from the colleges. So let's go back to personal responsibility. Let's go back to ethics and morals. Let's go back to learning from people whose lives we respect. You know, there are whole cultures that seem wonderful. I was just so enamored of Japanese culture. They all seem so nice and polite, and they all, when interviewed, say, oh, I'll do my very best. But I've just been told it's a mask, that people who lived almost a lifetime, Americans who lived in Japan, said you don't ever get to know them unless they're coming to your house and you form a private and personal and ongoing relationship. And there's no such word. So she gave them cookies, and there were no words beyond good thank you. So they had to make up words because they weren't already in Japanese. I'm thinking these are such happy people. But to say a cookie is good thank you, how about saying, oh, it's the best, it's tasty, it's scrumptious. And in English, we can say, oh, it's scrumdiddlyumptious. And like my cousins in East Texas, delicious. This is true, unfortunately, in church, that there is this mask, and someone who appears happy and claims to have been a successful missionary and pastor, and then you work with him and you discover him, his life is a weft of lies, and he appears to like and be liked by other people, and you discover that his life is a warp of disrespect. He lives off other people's misery to feed his own laziness. And then someone else appears to be super productive and jolly. But you look even at a social function at his wife, and she carries a look of dismay and being emotionally battered. And then you live with another unconcerned, lazy, disrespectful pastor who just seems to have everything coming into his family. But a decade later, he has no work of any kind at all. But this happens in every industry. I ran across someone that I knew as a speaker consultant. She was beautiful. She was rich. She was arrogant. But I ran across her sheltering in a business on a cold day because she was homeless and has no hopes. She holds no hopes of returning. So, what about you? Let me tell you, it is possible to be happy. It is possible to have self-respect. Self-respect comes from acting respectable. Daniel Goleman. There is reward in all hard work, the Bible. There is always someone worse off than you are, so go and help them. You can brighten someone else's day, even if you are a paraplegic in a bed. You can smile, make a joke for a nurse who's having a difficult day. You can brighten someone else's life. Okay, maybe you're going to have to play the averages here, but it will make you feel better. It will make you feel better. Go work, go walk, go sing, and go praise, even though you don't feel like it. Go sing, go praise, even though you don't feel like it, and it will be a weapon into happiness and productivity. Do not expect the formulas and the strategies in prayer to be it. They are at best only helps, but they could be helps. The point is to get closer to God, to real God, not some substitute, and see if that doesn't give you meaning, purpose, and happiness. It's the deepest and the best and the widest I have found. And this is what the neuropsych meditation productive millionaires are talking about, because this is part of that. This is the kind of mind stilling and cultivation of happiness. It works, but it's not as deeply satisfying as a real full relationship with God, who you could call the base vibration of the universe, but that's the word of God. So what about you? If you feel worthless, go do something worthy. If you feel life is without meaning, go and learn something. If you feel disoriented, pray until God overwhelms you. Pray, but then wait on God. Just attentively be silent for half an hour or more. And God, you get closer to God and God will get closer to you. If you are sad, and you know what? It's okay to be sad. That's sad about a reason. Go and brighten someone else's day. If you're depressed, stop being so selfish. If you are without hope, go and see God Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, who poured himself out for others. And don't listen to people who in the long run make you feel the same or only slightly better at the cost of lots of money. That's true in the LD industry, the learning disability industry. It's true in medicine, the psychology, religion. Lots of people want to sell you something and have a show to do it. But who really has the goods? Here is the secrets. The goods are available simply for digging them in the Bible and prayer and study, like right here. And do something to appreciate that. I bring you summarized, digested, cutting-edge stuff and good interviews for free. So how about leaving a 5-star rating on on iTunes? And please share in your social network face-to-face. Miracles will be seen in 2019. Like Joshua in Joshua 1, be strong and of a good courage. Your life, and this year might be tumultuous, but stay close to God, to God's word. Win the battle. Blessings on you and yours. And we're going to have a bang-up series on prayer coming up soon. See you then. Lord bless you.
Thank you for joining us for the Great Shalom Broadcast with your host, Sharon Sarles. Sharon is an author, educator, minister, parent, and grandparent committed to sharing the understanding of God's love and desire that all children experience optimal well-being in this generation and the generations to come. The Great Shalom Broadcast is here to bring hope, health, and healing for children and youth by inspiring, informing, equipping parents and educators. For more information on today's program or today's offer, simply log on to thegreatshalom.org or email info@greatshalom.org.